Welcome to Hammer Dad.
Dad.
Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. Pat McAfee will be joining us. Sitting next to him, the Canadian sensation, the nuke man himself, potentially the greatest footy handicapper on this goddamn planet, Bubba Gumpino. How are you today, sir?
Great day, Tony. How we doing?
Mike, oh, and on the FaceTime, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, GM Shuffle Pod, subscribe to the Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing great. Thank you very
did you
much.
Happen to, did, you happen be to, did you happen to see the weekend that Gumpy had?
I was following him. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Nigel, I was talking to Nigel. Nigel had a good weekend, too. It was a good weekend for the soccer boys.
You and Nigel connecting, huh?
Yeah, he's a beauty. I like that guy.
The brain power between these two, putting their forces together, they may never lose a soccer bet again.
That's exactly right. I mean, those guys are good now. I mean, when you get that – have you watched Mike Palm's pretty good at it, too.
He's big on unders, right?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, he's good at it.
Yeah.
They were doing like a live betcast on VSiN on Saturday for the Man U Arsenal. Did you see that, Mike?
No.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, they just kept like betting the game live. They just kept betting the under, It finished 0-0. It was incredible.
Did you get in on it?
No, I'm not. I don't. You know, I'm not an over under guy in footy.
Every pick that you gave out on this show was 3-0.
Yes, sir.
Pat hit a nice little parlay off of it. Did you? Parlay it?
Yeah. Had a good one on Sunday too.
Let's get into the news of the day, or the news of the weekend though, Mike. Goff, Stafford, what were your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a two-pronged trade. I thought it was, you know, they traded a one of the three for Stafford, and then they gave up basically, you know, they had to give up a high compensation to remove themselves from the Goff contract. I mean, you know, you can see this going back and forth. You know, the Rams have a good PR machine out there in the world, and they're spinning it as there were people calling them about Goff. No one really was going to take Goff in that contract. Like, let's just be clear. You know, let's say he's a top 24 quarterback in the league, towards the bottom, right? But at $33 million, who's taking that on, right? And he's got so many guarantees that I thought they had to entice another team to take him. Now, everybody in Detroit saying he's not a throw-in. Yeah, there's no doubt. He's not a throw-in. His contract's his contract's why you ended up getting that one,
correct,
not the player.
Correct. And I thought that it said more about what the Rams thought about Goff than anything else.
No doubt. I mean, look, they've been saying it. The thing that I have a hard time understanding is I've been saying it for 4 years, and why did they – when this is all said and done, what they paid to get Goff in the trade, what they paid to retain Goff in the contract, and what they paid to get rid of Goff in this deal, to me, is astronomical. It's just totally astronomical. And so I think, to me, it was one of those situations where you had to really examine it and go, like, I don't understand at what point along the way did they not say, wait a minute, Goff's not our guy.
Yeah, that's what Pat asked Rapoport earlier today. Like, why did they pay him? Like, why? You would think they would know. They knew at some point, like, Goff was not the guy. Why did they pay him?
Yeah, right. And so, like for me, I used to live in Los Angeles, and I would have conversations with people, you know, at the Rams, and I lived near a couple of the coaches of the Rams when I lived there, and they would come over to my house, and we were talking, and I went on Rich Eisen's show and basically said I thought Goff didn't have great anticipation. I thought he had to be a play-action passer, and I wasn't sure how tough he was. I got ripped for a whole year. That next year, that's when McVay really showed. That's when his first year in L.A. I mean, you should see my Twitter. I was getting videos of that every time I turned around. You know, and so, which is fine, right? Because people can only see the production. They can't see the reasons for the production. I think that's the life lesson. Anybody listens to this podcast, I think in any business you're in, you really have to understand why you win and why you lose. The Rams paid Goff as if he was the reason they won. And then they got rid of him because he was the reason they couldn't win. and they made the mistake. And I think that that's ultimately the lesson. Goff's not changed. Goff's been the same player he was since McVay got there. McVay kind of came around on it.
What do you think that? Why do you think that is? Because they had so much success early? They're like, okay, this is going to be able to last forever?
Well, I think what happens is you have success, right? People see you. First of all, as good of a coach as Sean McVay is, and I think he's really good, he's one of my favorite coaches, he has zero drop-back pass game. Why? Because he can't run a drop-back pass game, A, because his offensive line struggles in drop-back pass, and B, Goff's not a progressive reader out of the drop-back pass game. It's all play action. Now that he's realized after 3 years, for me to get over this hump, I need more than a play-action pass game. It's Kyle Shanahan's, really, it's his albatross too. They're not great play-action pass coordinators. They're not great drop-back pass coordinators. They're play-action pass. Everything's tied to the run game. When they get in a game and they have to throw it and get behind, that's when it starts to. And then it exposes their inability to have a great quarterback. And that's what happened with McVay. And I think you could see it, but sometimes, as Justice Scalia once said, wisdom comes later. Sometimes wisdom comes later.
Do you think Matthew Stafford makes them just automatically really good? Because I do.
That's what I was going to.
I think Matthew Stafford makes them better. There's no doubt. My questions are, can he stay healthy? That's real. I mean, I know he's durable and I know he's tough, right? But the depth of the Rams is always what concerns me the most.
Well, yeah, because is that potentially because they haven't had a first-round pick now going to be going 7-8 years?
Yeah, and I mean, look, they're going to have five guys that are really well paid, and then they're going to have a bunch of free agents. They're going to have a bunch of minimum salary guys.
The Lions draft a quarterback still, Mike?
Absolutely.
This year?
They should. If they like one, they definitely should. Because Goff's contract now, next year, on the third day of the league year, it becomes guaranteed for skill and injury. Now, the risk they run is if Goff gets hurt this year and they have to end up guaranteeing that contract next year.
So there's an out after this year?
Yeah. And look, they don't have to carry the signing bonus around their neck. So he becomes a more attractive player for them. But this whole notion that people were calling the Rams to trade for Goff. Yeah, anybody would trade for Goff, but nobody was trading for the contract. There's the disconnect.
I think this was a great trade by the Lions, to be honest.
So do I. Did you see the, you know...
Mike, hold on, though. Mike, it's only a great trade if they draft well, and who knows if they're going to draft
that's
well.
That's exactly right, Pat. I don't disagree with that. Look, it's fool's gold. Draft picks are fool's gold. If you don't hit with the picks... you're going to make a mistake. It's a bad trade.
I mean, Dan Campbell's going to—he's going to make the right picks.
What are we doing?
You hope so. It's easier said than done.
No, I know. I completely understand. Well, hey, how much of this? Now that I'm thinking about it, this, first time I thought about it, Brad Holmes came over from L.A., right?
Yeah.
So that
he was never in the building in Los Angeles. He lived in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to but he was the reason he was there when they drafted Goff. So. He has a scouting perspective of Goff.
The
day-to-day perspective of Goff, of people. This is the disconnect in the NFL. We hire guys to become general managers that were just college scouts. If you don't know the NFL inside and out, it's hard to be a general manager in the league. You're going to have to learn it. You know the draft. You see players. You don't understand the team and how they fit. You can't piece the player together based on the schemes of every single team. That's what you have to be able to do. This is what he's going to have to learn to do.
Can the Rams survive without any draft picks, just keep doing free agency like they're doing and stand under the cap, Mike?
But they can't do free agency. I mean, they're going to have very limited ability to really dabble in as the cap gets tighter. Yeah, they
allegedly they can renegotiate Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey's and get into the top 10 in free cap space. Now, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, I'm not saying they'll do that, but it was something talked about.
They'll easily do it because all they're doing, Pat, is converting their huge paragraph fives into signing bonus.
What's that? What's that mean?
So there's no sense in saying, we'll just do it right now. So as Al Davis would say, I don't want to say, I want to do. Fuck, I don't want to say. I want to do. Let me get it right here. And then if I was taking this long, oh, my God. Oh, I could have done that. Okay, so Aaron Donald has 19.82 worth of paragraph five, base salary. And Jalen Ramsey has 17.5. So now they could take that and guarantee it. And then that 17.5 gets spread out over the length of the contract. The 19 gets spread out over the length of the contract. Cooper Kupp has 10.5. That gets spread out. So there's really no cash involved. All you're doing is what I call playing the wimpy game. Gladly paying you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
That's what last week the Steelers were talking about doing with. They'll give Ben an extension and then move the money across all the years.
Smart. That's good. Hey, that's good salary cap manipulation, right?
That's what you have to do. And it's really no money because, let's face it, Donald's going to make his 19.82 money, right? Ramsey's going to make his 17.5. He's not off the team. Cup's going to make his 10.5. All you're doing is you're pushing this money further out to the years.
Is this what Tom did all those years up in New England?
Tom did a little bit of this. This is what Belichick was talking about, how they constantly were trying. This is where they got caught this year really tight on the cap. I mean, they went through – that's why they had to pay Cam no money because they were tight on the cap. They were manipulating just to get under. And then all these guys opted out and they got a bunch of cap room.
Mike, were you surprised by the report that came out that the Patriots is the only place that Stafford didn't want to go? And you think that may have to do with Patricia?
No, I think that's – look, I'm not sure that's accurate. I know that the Patriots are in it. I know they talked to Detroit. There was never a conversation. They're not interested in making a trade. I think this just got away from them. Look, it may be, New England might be too hard for Stafford. It might be. I mean, he may not be comfortable there. Mm-hmm. It may be too hard. You know, it takes a certain guy to go there, right? You got to be committed to the program. I mean, and look, they don't win six Super Bowls because it was easy. You know, it's hard. It's the path of least resistance. So you can make fun of it. You can say whatever it is. The player, I didn't really want to go there. Well, why wouldn't you want to go? It's the best coach in all of football. Why wouldn't you want to go?
If I was 13 years in, I was just leaving Detroit, and I was never on a winner, I would potentially go like, you know what? If there's an option not to go to the place that is like a military boot camp thing, I would take that right now. But now, granted, you are missing out on the opportunity to potentially learn from Bill Belichick and everything like mm-hmm. that. But at this point, you know, Sean McVay probably going to be they were in Cabo together. Probably a good person to be like, I would like to play offense with that guy, you know?
Right. Mike, I think it's a good move for, I mean, and plus Condon's relationship with the organization is pretty strong. So that's his agent. I think he had a house in Los Angeles too, Pat. So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look, it's a good pickup for the Rams. They've got to make it work in the next 3 years.
Mike, was there any teams in the reports that came out that they were in for Stafford that surprised you?
No, I think everybody was in it. I think San Francisco's in it. I see on the sidebar here we got Kirk Cousins. I think they'll now, San Francisco, will turn their attentions to Kirk Cousins if they can get him.
Yeah, and when we were talking to Rappaport on Pat's show, so you do think Kirk is better than Jimmy?
Here's what I know. I don't believe that, but I think Kyle Shanahan believes that. Okay. Here's what I do know. Mm. When Kyle Shanahan was in his first year as the 49ers head coach, he signed Brian Hoyer to be a starter to kind of give him to bridge to getting – he was going to get Kirk Cousins because it was the year Kirk Cousins couldn't get franchised again. So midway through the trading deadline, he makes the deal to get Jimmy Garoppolo. He takes Jimmy Garoppolo, gives it to – basically they're buying low. They're going to sell high. They're going to keep Garoppolo for 8 games, whatever it was, and then they're going to flip him at the end of the year when they sign Cousins. Well, then Garoppolo plays really well. They win 5 of 6 games. Garoppolo looks like the next best quarterback. Kyle's trapped. What am I going to do? This guy showed me everything I need to see. Signs him an extension. That then leads Cousins up to Minnesota. There's no doubt in my mind if you ask Kyle Shanahan who would he rather have, Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo, he would say Kirk Cousins. Now, you know, they have a lot in common. You know, Shanahan drafted him at Washington. They both share the same agency in terms of representation, Shanahan and Cousins. There's a lot of familiarity between them. I think Minnesota should be at the point where, look, this albatross around our neck is getting us nowhere. We need to do something else.
Yeah, and Jimmy's cap hit, I believe, is only $2 million if they cut him.
Yeah, $2.5 million.
They can trade him. They don't have to cut him. They're going to get an asset for Jimmy. I think that's they're going to get an asset. I think that they'll trade an asset to get Cousins. Will they trade Cousins for Garoppolo? I don't know that.
Who would want Jimmy, you think?
Well, I definitely think New England would want him. I mean, New England likes him. I mean, he's always been a good player. I mean, look, he took a team to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he maybe didn't have to throw the ball very much, but he made enough plays in that year. Now, Jimmy's problem is durability. You got to worry. I mean, he missed one whole season. The next year after that one with the knee, and then last year he had the high ankle for pretty much most of the season.
Mike, I don't know if it was just us. No, it wasn't just us because I saw it all over the internet. But a lot of people thought Stafford's best fit was with the Colts. So where do the Colts go from here?
Come on.
I thought so too. I mean, behind a really good offensive line, playing in a dome, you know. But I don't think that the Colts are going to – look, I think there's a difference between being courageous and desperate. To me, the Rams made a desperate move, motivated by the contract that they gave Goff, not by their wanting – desperate in terms of wanting
– desperate.
Wanting Stafford. I think there was a combination in Los Angeles. They knew that McVay wasn't going to tolerate Goff another year. That was just going to fall off. So I think Chris Bauer looks at a lot of different options. You know, does he look at Garoppolo? Does he look at the draft? Does he look at, you know, Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota? I think there's going to be constant movement of these quarterbacks.
Chris Ballard told me that they were competitive. They were in there for the trade, and then the Rams came in with the boom or something like that, with the huge
doubt about that, Pat. I was told Saturday night or Sunday morning. Sunday morning. I was told that it would happen no later than Monday, and at no later than Monday night, it was going down. And it happened Sunday afternoon. So the Rams basically said, "Hey, look, we'll make this work. Let's do it." Brad Holmes had a relationship with the Rams. They did it. I don't know if any team – there's a report out there a team offered two number ones. Well, I mean, if the team offered a one this year and then a one next year, isn't that better than two ones later down the road, the value of that? So it doesn't make sense that they would turn that down. But they're all saying, well, they got Goff back. Well, I love how they're making Goff out to be like getting Goff. No, they took Goff's contract. That's what they did.
Hey, we'll also take that contract that you have a problem with.
Mike.
Yeah, and you got to pay me for it. You got to pay me for taking that contract.
Mike, hypothetically, because the Broncos were in on it too, say they were one of the teams with multiple firsts, and they threw in Drew Lock. Would you rather have Goff or Drew Lock?
Goff.
Okay.
Man, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks. So many.
I mean, Drew Lock do anything to me to make me think that I can build around him. At least with Goff, I know who he is. He's a play-action pass quarterback. We better be really good up front.
That team's gonna.
But I don't know how you could take Goff, knowing how bad he plays in under 40-degree weather.
In the NFC North.
NFC North. Oh no, I didn't even think about that. Motor City Dan Campbell doesn't know that the kneecaps do not get gnawed off when it's chilly outside.
Or Denver. How do you take him if you're playing eight games outdoors in Denver and probably four of them in the month of November and December when they matter?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of weather, I'm looking at the forecast right now, Sunday in Tampa Bay.
Oh, no.
During the day, there's 50% chance of rain with winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour.
Oh, no.
At night, it drops to 30% chance of rain, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, drops to 45 degrees.
Oh, no.
If it does rain.
Hey, Pat, do you have Aaron on this week?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because remember when Aaron played down there back in October, week six, he was complaining about the wind, how windy it was in that stadium. I was just curious.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like 13 mile an hour winds a lot, but I think that's probably going to be problematic.
Well, if that's 13 miles an hour on the field, that's a different ballgame. You know, a lot of people, wind is above the stadium or whatever, and it doesn't get down as much. But there's some stadiums where the wind gets down on the field, and that's when, you know.
Who's that benefit most? Chiefs?
Yeah, I think so. Look, you know, it's interesting. So I did the show this weekend over at the Borgata. And the Borgata Sportsbook in lovely Atlantic City, great spot. Anybody listens to this, tremendous hotel. But guess the two players that they have the most liability on for the MVP of the game.
Kelce.
Tyreek Hill.
Nope. The most liability they have is Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh,
Jesus.
There's a ton of people coming in betting, professional people, betting on those two players to be the MVP of the game.
Because they get 2-3 sacks and they win.
That's right. And with the two tackles out for Kansas City, that's a problem.
That's a good...
I'm going there now.
That makes sense as far as return. It's good value.
Take a shot. I mean, you know, you're wasting your time with Kelsey because if Kelsey has a big day, that means Mahomes had a big day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, Hill's a different story at 9-1. I don't know what our app says there, but it's a different story. But I think you're wasting your time if you're not.
By the way, player to record first sack, Frank Clark plus 500, Shaq Barrett plus 550, JPP plus 650.
I would go with Clark because I don't think Mahomes is going to – I think they're going to go in the game knowing Mahomes got to get rid of the ball. If Mahomes gets sacked, it's going to be because he's got to hold it later in the game.
Mike, who did you ask on Friday what their – can you remember who what their over-under for tackles was? Do you remember who he was? Chris Jones, wasn't it?
No, I don't remember.
I'm
obsessed with the passing attempts. I think it'll go under the 41.5.
Hey, Shaq Barrett plus 5,000. Pierre Paul plus 10,000.
There you go.
I think you were talking about Chris Jones, Mike, and his over-under for tackles is 2.5.
For sacks or tackles?
Yeah. Tackles is 2.5.
Just 2.5 tackles?
Yep, tackles and assists. So it doesn't have to be solo.
Oh, I'll take that every time.
Who's that?
What's the
Chris Jones?
What's minus 110?
Chris Jones, minus 125 over, plus 100 under.
It's a good bet.
Something to think about. Mike, we're going to go through all these on Thursday and Friday because they're
great.
Like more and more of these pop up every day.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other thing is we got to make sure that before you put bets in, especially this line, isn't it interesting how the line hasn't moved one bit?
Neither.
To the 120 on the three. But it hasn't moved at all.
The total hasn't moved either.
It's unbelievable.
Man, there's a lot of bets.
Yeah, that's what I said. We'll go over those on Thursday and Friday.
Shit, I was just scrolling.
Because they're going to add more, too. They're gonna add a lot more.
Man, there is a lot of bets to be had on this Super Bowl. Let's go make some money out there, Mike?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I recommend two years ago, Gronk on his over catches. Yeah, there's some money to be made here if you think it through.
Mike, do you talk about on your show today, you like anything NBA or college tonight?
So in the NBA, in college, so we've been trying to do these sleepers in college. Yesterday we loved Siena.
Uh-huh.
So Alabama State, Prairie View, what do you have the over under?
Alabama State and Prairie View. Let me find it real quick for you.
I have it at 129.5.
Yeah.
I
don't know what you got. You got it, Mike. 129.5.
We like that as an underplay.
Okay.
This Texas Tech.
And Bradley, Indiana State. That line opened up to Indiana State and it went to Bradley right away. So it's now at minus. We have it at minus 2.
So that's, are you on Bradley?
That's the zigzag method, Mike.
Yep.
Me and Gump are both on Bradley.
Yep.
Bradley has lost 5 in a row, and Indiana State has won 5 in a row, but we're on Bradley.
What?
Well, Bradley was up one late yesterday, and then they went down one, and they had it at the end. They just let it slip away.
Okay, so we like Bradley.
Yeah, I would take Bradley money line minus 120. Don't worry about the 1.5.
And where are you guys on the Knicks and the Bulls tonight?
Where are you?
Well, I mean, I think the Bulls, they're rested. The Knicks are on a back-to-back. It's a 3.5-point game. The Bulls are playing pretty good. They've lost 3 in a row, but their offense, they just lost 1 point to Portland.
They should have won that one.
I think their offense is better. I like the Bulls here, and I like the Mavericks, too.
Mavs have been on a little bit of a skid themselves.
They're horrible, but they're a 2.5-point favorite against Phoenix, and everybody's playing Phoenix.
You have any thoughts on Oklahoma, Texas Tech tonight, Mike?
Yeah, I do. One second here. I was on Texas Tech.
Yeah, Oklahoma. I was actually surprised. I took Bama on Saturday. I was surprised they lost to Oklahoma without their two better players there.
Yeah, that line moved. Now, this line opened up Texas Tech minus 5. It went up to 7.5 right away.
Both Oklahoma's players are still out.
Yep. The way Texas Tech plays defense with Chris Beard, they're giving up 62 a game, and they're getting better.
Oh, so you think under?
Texas Tech. I do like the under, yeah.
Texas Tech is a good under team.
It opened at 138, Pat, and I think it's at 135.5 or 134.5. It's in there, wherever you can get it.
So I got Bradley Moneyline, Bulls Moneyline, Mavericks Moneyline, Texas Tech Moneyline. That's plus 537.
I like it.
I like it. Let's do it.
All right, fuck it.
I mean, Bradley's going to be the one to fuck us, but for sure, but.
All right, we're in. I like when you guys do this. You guys seem to know a lot more than I do.
I also like Loyola, Illinois tonight. Whoa. Or Loyola, Chicago.
I didn't know we were doing more.
So what? They won by 30 last night?
Yeah.
And they're playing the same team again today?
It wasn't close the whole game, start to finish.
And the line is 8. It's a classic zigzag, so they're probably not going to cover, but I think they're just a much better team. Bradley, Evansville. You on Evansville too, Gumpy?
Yeah, I wiped the points on that too. Evansville money line minus 130. They beat Valpo last night as well.
I like LIU, and then my last one is Bama A&M.
I have one more. It was Wofford money line. I really like Wofford.
Bama A&M is a big underdog.
Yeah, take the points, not the money line.
All right.
Yeah.
I like what we're doing.
I think we're good there. Mike, you got anything else?
I'm good. No, I like it.
All right. Hey, we'll see you Thursday.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. A pleasure.
We'll see you Thursday.
Do it Thursday.
Bring your props.
Thank you. I got them. I'm ready.
All right. See you,
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good one, Mike.
Right. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, don't put your parlay in because Nick's coming in too. So if you want to add some NHL ones.
We got Nicky Skates.
Yeah, Nicky Skates says he had a good weekend.
Really? Oh, yeah. He won 8 and no.
10 and 6 and then 12 and 8 or something.
Hey, a lot of bets.
Saturday, the college basketball got the best of me.
How many bets you have?
With footy, I went 17 and 10 on Saturday.
That's a great day.
Yeah. It's hard to navigate that slate on Saturday of college basketball. 120 basketball games? Yeah.
I don't know how. I'm not a big – I bet on college basketball because you guys do, but that's tough for me. West Virginia's balling.
They are playing
Lost to the
well.
Gators. Shouldn't have lost to the Gators, but we'll bounce back. Culver's an absolute stud.
Dude, that big white dude for Florida, his hands were
– massive. Did you see that steal he had at the end of the game where he dribbled for – well, he got battled out of his hand and he grabbed it and did the whole thing? Athletic.
The announcer was like, strong hands.
Yeah, it was. Super strong hands.
Nick, you back here?
I'm back.
What do you got?
All right, here we go. Boston.
Oh, boy.
Boston at Washington.
Are you running the gauntlet?
I'm going.
Are we doing every game?
Oh, yeah. Got them all.
Jeez. They can't all be locks, can they, at this point?
That's up for you to decide, my friend.
Volume shooter.
Let's
Volume
go, pal.
Shooter.
Bruins, money line, minus 146 there at Washington. Now, the Bruins have gone under in 4 of the last 5 games on the road. But I'm not going to touch it because the last game was 4-3. These two teams just played, and they had lost to the Caps 4-3. So I'm taking the Bruins to bounce back win here.
I like that.
Let's go with Tampa Bay, minus 175. And I'm going with over 5.5.
Who are they playing?
They play the Predators.
Ooh, the Preds.
This is Tampa Bay and the Preds, huh?
Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's at home.
And then you got hockey time, the Pittsburgh Penguins against New York Rangers. I'm just taking the over here, 6.5.
You could also look first period over there. Penguins are 6-3. Rangers are 5-3.
You could. Both these teams bleed chances. Now, if you want, the Penguins are 3-0 against the Rangers on the season, but they've all been one goal games, so they've all been tight games.
That was a super boost hit on Saturday.
Amen.
You're damn right.
Also,
amen. Hockey Sharp, how you doing? Yeah. Thank you.
Also, Pens, Rangers are the top two teams in the league at 7-2 and 6-2 as in a goal in the first 10 minutes of the game.
A lot of scoring early.
All right, then we got Montreal, heavy home favorite, minus 170 against Vancouver. Also like the over there. Montreal, the total's gone over in 4 of the last 5 games against Vancouver. And Montreal's 10-2 straight up in the last 12 against Vancouver.
Nice.
Jeez.
And then finally, Calgary minus 124 at Winnipeg. And I like the under there, under 6.
Is there trouble brewing in Calgary?
Could be, Gumpy. Could be. The total has gone under in 8 of their last 10 when playing on the road against Winnipeg as well. So keep in mind.
Fucking Calgary. Stats on stats, dude.
Calgary's problematic.
Who wants out of there?
I would assume a lot of guys. I don't know if Johnny Hockey's happy up there. I think Gaudreau might want to like a move, but we'll see.
Johnny Hockey?
Yeah.
That's Johnny Gaudreau.
They paid.
He doesn't say he wants out yet, but I mean, there's been some hints that maybe
it's expensive.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Calgary always pays goalies when they're at their way out.
A potential first period under. Nashville and Tampa, I believe, play tonight. Correct, Nick?
Yeah. See, I'm going against the trend on this one because total's gone under in five of Tampa's last mm-hmm. six games when they play Nashville. Mm-hmm. But I like the 5.5. I like going over on the 5.5.
Nashville is 7-1 to the under first period, and Tampa is 4-2 to the under.
They figured it out late in the game.
Just we're just tossing some stuff out.
Just throwing it around.
Paddle bet on it.
There's a lot of bets in these games.
It's the best, dude.
A lot of bets. Period. It's the best. Props. First period total goals. Over 1.5 there for that Nashville-Tampa Bay game?
Under.
That's under.
They're not going to score in the first one.
They are two under teams as far as the first period comes. As far as the first period is concerned.
Who do you think is going to score in the first period?
That was Rangers and
Pens. My man. Thank you.
Hopefully. Stats will say.
Transfer deadline day, just about to finish up.
Footy?
Yep.
When's the next footy picks coming out?
I got one tomorrow. The line is rising, though. Arsenal draw no bet against Wolves is -180, so I'm going to look at that money line. I'll tweet it out. Wolves are really struggling. Arsenal tied Man U. They actually outplayed them, so they're good value. Money line +115 tomorrow. Wolves just lost to Crystal Palace. They can't score. They can't score, dude.
They stink, dude.
I believe Crystal, what's called, was based off of Ted Lasso.
Oh, is it?
I thought so.
Who do we like again? Arsenal?
Arsenal, yeah.
Damn right we do.
It was draw no bet -160 this morning. It's already -180, so just money line value +115 there is good value. They got that Odegaard kid from loan from Real Madrid. He's 22. He came in against Man U for a little bit. He was supposed to be the next big thing. He hasn't really turned out, so we'll see if he can get going with the Gunners.
Like next big thing, you mean like Messi?
So he was 16 and he got bought by Real Madrid and everyone thought, and he just hasn't turned out. Maybe Freddy Adu would be more.
I got a chance to play against Freddy Adu a couple times, for those that don't know that.
Did he stink then too?
He was in, he played for Bethesda or Potomac. The Potomac River is in Bethesda, Maryland, I believe.
Mm-hmm. They got to be around there.
But he played for one of those teams, and we played in a tournament every year against him. He was a problem. He was a problem. They said he was older.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like Danny Almonte.
I never knew if that was actually factually accurate or not, but it seemed like that every once in a while watching him play against teams that I was on.
Chelsea.
We beat them every once in a while, by the way.
Chelsea got a big win with their new coach.
I don't know if we did, actually. What's that?
Chelsea got a big win with their new coach, finally, on the weekend.
Who is it? Ted Lasso, the new coach? Who is?
Tuchel. He's Pulisic's coach at Dortmund.
Makes sense.
Pulisic's getting people head coaching gigs now?
He was buzzing. Pulisic came on. He was buzzing.
He's not starting anymore?
He's coming off the bench.
That's because last year he came off the bench and he dominated.
Yeah.
Then they made him a starter, changed his number. What's going on?
Chelsea's been in shambles. If anybody can turn him around, though, Tuchel. He's got him practicing with mini balls their touch.
We're Chelsea people, right?
No, I'm not. I'm a Spurs guy.
Spurs thing?
Brighton's first win at home all season was against Spurs yesterday.
Jesus.
They've had a bit of a rough patch.
No Harry Kane. I mean, without Kane.
Harry Kane. I mean, Sonny can only carry you so far.
Harry Kane.
Gareth hasn't really come through like he was supposed to.
Nah, he might be past it, unfortunately.
Are we betting on MLS? Is MLS happening or what? What's going on with MLS? Is this still happen?
No, it's done. MLS is back,
you're getting greedy,
too.
Huh?
What'd you say, Frank?
You're getting greedy, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that's a particular style of soccer I enjoy.
That is, hey, the MLS is tough to bet on. That is fucking wild.
That's
dude.
The roll of the dice out there. Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
That is a roll of the dice.
Get some winners tonight, pal. We'll be back Thursday. We're going through all the fucking props. There's a lot. So, you know, bring a sheet. Let us know what you like. Send us your favorite prop bets at Hammer Don on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll talk about them on Thursday, 3:30 p.m., YouTube, and then as a podcast after. Hammer
Don!